Last week, we broached the subject of authority, and specifically, we talked about the far-reaching authority that Jesus possessed, and he demonstrated that. And as a result of the demonstration of that authority, it was validated. It validated the belief of one of the Gentiles that Jesus described as having great faith. One of two times that he indicated that that person had great faith, because that person believed and stated very emphatically that you can just say the word and I know my servant will be healed. You just say the word. You got power and authority, and it does not have any geographical or ethnic specificity. You know, you just got authority. You got all of it. And he declares that long before Jesus went to the grave. So this was a true believer. And we saw that Jesus, in fact, healed his daughter without ever even going to the house. And we talked about far-reaching authority. We talked about authority as, in God's economy, it's how he possesses and dispenses order. God is a God of order. And God well understands that unless there is a reverent respect for authority, then there will be disorder. And I alluded to the fact, to the chagrin of some, that the reason why we are so out of order in the society today and out of order in even the church and even in the home and on our jobs is that we don't have a healthy respect for authority. But the issue is, I don't give up my authority just simply because you want to act the fool. I don't give up authority because you don't believe in it. Authority is definite, concrete. And it is far-reaching when it comes to Jesus the Christ. Jesus moves in this ministry, because that's what ministry is about. Ministry is about serving. If you're going to serve somebody, you got to move. You got to go to them, help them out. And he's been doing this. And as we pick up in chapter 8 of Matthew, he's been performing some miracles, and you know, his ministry is in full bloom. He's really doing his thing, and he's getting some notoriety, and people are being convicted and convinced of his authority. Today, we're going to see that even the people that were with him, Terry, they really didn't know him. Because if you know him, if you really know Jesus the Christ, you know what he can do. I guess I'll be all inclusive. It would be like the Sunday school class, the family church school class, and Deacon Snead's classroom on the 10th of February being offered donuts, and I being astonished by Deacon Harmon's statement that, "Ooh, I'm so surprised that they ate all of donuts." I mean, what's astonishing about that, Tim? There's nothing for me to marvel about that, because I know y'all, and I know plate of chocolate fudge, pound cake, pecan pie. There's going to be some eating going on here, Lolly. There's going to be some eating going on. I'm not surprised. these men, and early, because, you know, we haven't got to a full fruition of Jesus' Christocentric ministry here on earth, these men that were with him, they followed him, but they were maturing. And that's what we gotta keep in mind, is that you may not always get it at first, but it is your goal to get it. But the first thing you really gotta get is who he is. That's why we started the second quarter about establishing the identity of Christ, knowing who he is. Because if you know who he is, you know what he can do. And it won't surprise you. And you know what? If it doesn't surprise you, you'll be just like the three Hebrew boys. I know he can, if he only will. It ain't no doubt. I know that he can. You know, the issue is whether or not, you know, we've tapped into his will today. The particular miracles that I mentioned in our passage of scripture this morning for the family church school is chapter 8, verses 23 through 34. And in verses 23 through 37, we see specifically what Jesus has authority over. And the reason why there may be surprise, is that, well, I really don't have no excuse for them. I don't understand why they are astonished. I don't even know why they titled the lesson this, because if I was looking at it, I would probably have said, Jesus' authority over the sea and the spirit. Jesus' authority over the sea and Satan. You know, that's what I would look at it as, because that's what I'm going to consider. Those 2 points the authors have given us is that Jesus has authority over the sea. After performing miracles, Jesus tells the disciples something, and we get that not necessarily from Matthew, but we get it in the context that both Mark and Luke has provided for us, and some interesting detail that Luke and Mark share that Matthew didn't. And, you know, we can't talk about contradictions in the gospel. It's simply the only contradiction is your understanding of it. What they do is that they accompany one another, and they show the perspective that God, through many authors, used their personality to report some of the same things. And because we have different personalities, we express it differently, and that's why we might say no contradiction. It's just that what you may think is important, I don't think is important. And one of the things here is that we talk about one man possessed, and I'll tell you that right ahead, but actually, in fact, there was more than one. And here, before they get to the demon-possessed person, Jesus tells his disciples in verse 23 to do something. And I want you to read it. Believe me, he tells me. I want you to believe me. Now see, because I know y'all read the lesson and said, well, I don't see where you're telling them to do anything. Read verse 23. Now, when Jesus got on the boat, his disciples followed. That's how Matthew records. Luke says, Jesus said, get on the boat. They got on the boat. Luke didn't stop to say, well, he got on the boat first and they followed him, or he got on that. Luke just said, get on the boat. And they got on the boat. When they got on the boat, that was a miracle. And I'm going to tell you why. Because of what happened on the boat. Imagine fishermen who are used to being on boats, who have been on the Sea of Galilee before. I asked to get on the boat. Now, verse 24. I know, Phyllis, it's coming. All the skeptics, all you skeptics, yeah, I'll fix you up. Don't worry about it. That's what I get paid for. Verse 24 says, what happened when they got on the boat? That's all I want somebody to ask. Answer. A storm came up. When they got on the boat, fishermen who know fishermen, I mean, they know how to fish. They know the conditions of the seas when they fish. And they know one thing about the Sea of Galilee this time of year, when they're getting on that boat, that the cold north winds come and a warm south winds from the Mediterranean come right above the sea. And when the cold and the hot come together, a tempest will arise. There will be some tornadic implications, some very thunderous conditions. But they got on the boat. Here's what I got from that, just reading that. And that jumped out at me. That God is going to ask you to do some things that's going to cause you a whole bunch of trouble. And just because he asked you to do it does not mean you're not supposed to do it. Just because he asked you to do it does not mean there won't be trouble. Okay, that didn't rock you. They're on a mission. They're on a mission that Jesus has declared. He says, get on the boat, we're going to the other side. Now, I don't see in either account where they disagree. Why are we going out here on this boat? They just got on the boat. But as soon as they got on that boat, trouble started. As soon as you start doing something for the church, trouble will start. It says that it started and it was terrible. Keep reading. In so much that the... Now, wait a minute. You got to go to Mark and Luke to see. Matter of fact, them two boys said the water was coming on the ship. I mean, this wasn't no little storm. These seamen, you know, they've been in storms before. But it looks like this is it. And the guy that told them to get on the boat is sleeping. That sounds like a Baptist preacher. While all the work is being done, he's sleeping. Because he's resting from ministry. It also shows the humanity of Christ. In other words, Jesus is showing us how to live like a man. And Jesus says, sometimes when you get on the boat, you know the conditions. Why worry? Rest. Jesus, I got this. I can go to sleep. I'm physically tired. I'm not going to sit up here and watch, you know, the lightning in the sky or the thunder roll. I'm going to sleep. You know why? Because I got to do ministry. I need to be rested. The physical man needs rest. So Jesus was asleep. What do? When you're in trouble, about to perish, and Jesus is asleep. That's what they're faced with. They're faced with that reality. The one that told us to get on the boat is asleep. There's a storm out here. The waves are crashing in on the boat. And as a matter of fact, the issue is there were some folk that were not told to get on this boat. And they were in trouble too. Because when you look at Mark and Luke's account, that there were some boats, other boats around. That same trouble that this boat was in, the only difference, Jesus on this boat. You got to understand. Let me tell you, the sheriff and his M16s are in on the trouble that I'm in right now. But the sheriff is sleeping. But guess what? I'm going to go to the sheriff. I'm going to go to the one who has authority, and I'm going to make a request. And that's what you should do. I told you last week, if you're scared, don't pray. If you pray, don't be scared. Bottom line, one of the two. Matter of fact, Pastor Brown probably told you something like that this morning also about fear. You got fear, you ain't no need to pray. If you're scared, don't pray. Just go on and be scared. But if you pray, why are you going to be scared? You're going to the one that can solve your particular issue. And his disciples came to him, Jesus, and woke him up, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. Now, let me tell you something, folks. Please go to Jesus. Do not go to your family deacon when he is sleeping, especially when I just told my members now. When I'm sleeping, don't come to me with your issues. You do just what these brothers did. Take it to the Lord, because that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm sleeping. Take it to the Lord. Don't you care that I perish? I may or may not. But the Lord sure cares. They're asking a crazy question. Jesus told them to get on the boat. Don't you think he would be concerned if their safety was involved? Nah. Jesus put them on the boat because they were on a mission. A mission to edify you and I in the 21st century. Y'all don't get it. Keep reading here. And he said unto them, he asked them a question. Why are you scared? Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus will always ask you that. Why are you afraid? If you're praying to me, if you're talking to me, why are you afraid? Oh, ye men of little faith. In other words, don't you know who I am? But more importantly, the question is, don't you trust who I am? Do you think I would send you out here on a mission for you to perish? Do you think I asked you to go ye therefore into all nations for you to perish? No. He says, why are you fearing? Don't you know who I am? And don't you know my authority? Oh, there's a lot in that question that Jesus asked. He says, then he got up, he arose. And what? Matthew was not very dramatic. But Mark and Luke were. He spoke, and the winds stopped. That's a miracle. Didn't say it stopped in a couple hours. Didn't say it stopped in 2 or 3 weeks. It said that it stopped immediately. That's a miracle. But guess what? There's more. Not only did the wind stop blowing, the sea became as calm as a sea of glass. Stop moving at all. That's a miracle. That is a miracle. What makes it a miracle? Because you and I can't do that. Because if they had been able to do this for themselves, I guarantee you, they got out there with a wind stop. Sea stop. They didn't have no authority. They had neither the power nor the authority. So they went to the person that they figured could do something about this. And you know what? They some good figurers. If you can't have faith, figure. These figurers went and said, hey, don't you care that we perish? In other words, hey, Doc, can't you do something about this? I mean, you're asleep. You're asleep. If he couldn't do anything about it, why wake him up? Let him die in his sleep. If you're going to die, let him, why are you going to bother? But they went to somebody who they thought could do something about it, who they believed could do something about it. And they were right, because Jesus got up and immediately he spoke and the wind stopped and the water stopped acting up. The boat became very calm because of his authority. You know how I know? Listen to what the men say. But
the men are all saying, what manner of man is this? And even the wind and the sea
obey. See, I told y'all didn't know who he was. I told you they didn't know. But I'm gonna show you something. The people that really know, the centurion, last week, I'm gonna take you back to him. He knew. Oh, dear master, my servant is sick. If you just say the word, he'll be healed.
Yes, yes.
Here they got to go out. In other words, he's saying, I know who you are. I know what your authority, and I know the impact of your authority. I know how far your authority can reach. So I'm asking, I'm making a request. They come and say, if you can do something about this, we don't know if you can, but we think you can. Please help us. Or they were saying, misery likes company so much. If we're going to die and we're alive, we're awake, we want you to be awake also. It's just my little pea brain working. If someone has authority, you don't ask them about what they care. See, that's what's wrong in America today. We're going to folk in authority and we're asking them, don't you care about these people? You're trying to appeal to an authority that, first of all, in most instances, is not even legitimate. Because really, we're very, the people that are in charge today in our schools, in our government, and sometimes even in our churches, they're not legitimate. They have conned, they've schemed, and they've got in positions of authority, but they don't know how to exercise it. See, because the exercise authority is the control exercise of power. Authority is power under control. You can't be out of control and talk about you got authority. Because let me tell you something. If you are out of control and give, look at all them retirees in here, an unlawful order, guess what? You might well be talking to the birds. Especially if they give it to this retiree. An unlawful order is unlawful. But if you perceive that person to have authority, dominion, legitimate, clear, concise control of power, they have authority and you'll follow it. The wind heard the voice of its creator. The sea heard the voice of its creator. The one who, all those people who are out there talking about, please stop blowing, please stop doing, the wind looked at me. Who are these guys? Why are they trying to stop me from doing what I legitimately do? I'm the wind, I blow. Oh, y'all were wondering how I was gonna get to there. It ain't legitimate. They could have spoke till they were blue in the face. They weren't going anywhere. Because Jesus was trying to show them that he possessed the authority over the wind and the sea because he made the wind and the sea. He is sovereign over the wind and the sea. He is sovereign over all physical things because he made them. And this was just a little lesson. Now, let's go back to getting on the boat. Many times you think you're on a mission, ministry, and Jesus just wants to equip you for the mission and ministry. He wants to show you the kinds of things that can come up in your life when you're just doing what the Lord say do. He's trying to show you that adversity will come into your life in the form of many things. In this particular case, it's a storm. It's a physical storm. But Jesus says to us today, I control the storm. I speak, and the winds back up. That's all Jesus did. That wind was blowing them boats and all that, that, that. Jesus said, you better back up off me. And the wind sucked up, stopped, and the sea became calm. But guess who benefited? You remember I told you at the beginning? There were other boats in the sea. So the prayers of the righteous do availeth much. That's why you ought to keep on praying for folk. Keep on praying for yourself. Keep on praying for others. Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much if those prayers are being solicited from the person who can do something about it. They could have prayed to the statue of Buddha all day long. That wind would have kept them blowing. Matter of fact, they'd have been gone. You'd have never heard them written about. He could have never given testimony. None of those disciples on that boat. So what do we see? We see that many times you're on a mission, but it doesn't mean there won't be storms. And just because you're on a mission does not exempt you from the trials and tribulations of a storm. But God is in charge. He's in charge, and because he's in charge, he has all the authority. So if he has authority over the sea, don't you think he has authority over the land? Because some of you said, well, I ain't never been on no ship. But you know, I ain't had to worry about it. I ain't like Fred. You know, I ain't been on no ship. I ain't getting on no ship. Can't suck up all that water. But the same God who's in charge of that Galilean Sea is in charge of 1002 Live Oak Road. And whenever you're on trouble on 1002 Live Oak Road, I don't care what it is, hurricane, hurricane, whatever, Jesus is in charge. And he can speak and the winds will obey. He can speak and the sun will back up off of you. He can speak and water will flow in dry places. Just speaking the word, because he has authority. I ain't astonished. I just glory and bask in the fact that I serve a God that has that kind of authority, that can deal with me in all my circumstances. That's why I can proceed on, guys. You're doing the Lord's work. Please don't let these storms distract you. You're doing the Freudian slip, guys. Come on back. Freudian slip. You in the storm? Go to Jesus. You need some changes in your life, in your sea of life? Go to Jesus. I don't care what in the physical is going on with anybody in here. Jesus has authority over it. 28, please. Somebody say Gadara. Gadara. This is the region that they're talking about. The Gergesenes or the Gadarsens. This region that they're in now, it's occupied by one of the tribes of Israel. It is the tribe who decided that they were not going over to the promised land. That's why they are on this side of Jordan. They're in this area, the Gads. And when Joshua went over, y'all go, we're staying. And because they didn't go, they had assumed some practices that Orthodox Jews didn't do. They were a little different. Jew, nevertheless, different. And when you get people that are that different, living in places that are that different, you get some different stuff happening in that area. They just came out of a raging sea. But guess what? That was all physical. What they're getting ready to get involved with now is strictly spiritual. And for those of you folk who don't believe that it is a spiritual warfare out here, well, let me just tell you about this place that they're in. In this place, they're about to meet a gentleman. Because you know how I know? Right after, in the latter clause there, B clause, it says, they met him to possess. Matthew just called them devils. Okay? But we know it ain't but one devil. But there's some demons that mess your life up. And you know how we know? Jesus just met a man that devils... Matter of fact, he met more than one man, according to the other gospels, that lived in tombs. And if you listen to Luke's description of this guy was messed up. This guy lived in tombs, with the dead folk, and some of the bodies weren't even buried in the place where this guy was. This guy ran around, if you listen to Brother Luke, this brother was naked, doing all kinds of aberrant things. He was just acting the fool because he was possessed by demons. Okay, Jesus, you in charge. Let's see how you're going to handle this. I know you heal a woman with an issue of blood, and I know you heal the centurion's servant. But let me tell you one thing. Matter of fact, he hadn't healed the lady with the issue of blood yet. But he says, I know you can't see over there, but go up here and mess with this boy. Luke 8 from right there. Luke 8. God, I may need it. Mark says this man was a fool. Mark says this no man could tame. And let me tell you something, folk. If you can't be tamed, you got children that can't be tamed, you're a fool. That's the bottom. Now, Brother Harden, I realize your background, your profession. I realize you just attended the course that says that we shouldn't say stuff like that about people that have cognitive dysfunction and all that kind of stuff. But let me tell you something, folks. When you're dealing with the devil, some of that stuff just ain't biological. It's strictly spiritual. But wait a minute. When you start talking about people being possessed today, I mean, it's interesting. He's in the graveyard. He's been shackled. Did you read up on for me right quick, Terry? He's in shackles, so I don't make no mistake. He's been shackled, but yeah, he broke it. Strong, supernatural strength, because he was possessed. And we're going to find out. Terry, Jesus interviews this man. And I think Jesus asked him his name. Do you see that scripture that says 8:30? All this aberrant behavior that you see out here in the world today, a lot of it is just simply demon possession. And we're so sophisticated and smug that we think that we've got professionals to deal with this. And that, they're just having some cognitive dysfunctions. We give all the kinds of things. But let me tell you something, folks. There's more than just a psychological reason for the issues that are going on with folk today. A lot of it is spiritual. People are doing stuff now that even the court says, wait a minute, this guy was perfectly sane. How you gonna be perfectly sane and murder your mama? How you gonna be perfectly sane and rape a baby? How you gonna be perfectly sane and beat a baby to death and try to cover it up? How you gonna be perfectly sane and lie and kill somebody's livelihood? It's demonic possession. And you know what? We've come to the point that we even do exactly what the scripture says, what he just read. Read that 8:30 again. I'm going to show you something. Jesus asked this boy. Jesus is trying to talk to the man who's out of his mind. And here's what it is. What is your name? Legion. Let me tell you something, folks. Legion is 6,000, 4,000 to 6,000, depending on whatever. We went through that last week. So he's talking to the man, but somebody else is speaking. That's called schizophrenia. That's dual personality. Oh, digging hard. I mean, that's the psychological term. That's demon possession. Because you know what? When a demon possess you, you can't help act but other than what you really are. And as a matter of fact, when you find demon possession, you find folk naming themselves what they are instead of what they've been named. Oh, y'all don't hear me? Back up. I'll get you. You know, if you consume the maximum amount of skull, you call yourself a drunkard. When somebody asks you, I'm just a drunkard. Because you become what you are instead of what you've been named. You got a dual personality. Oh, y'all didn't like that one, huh? Well, maybe you like this one. All right, I'm going to leave that one alone. But how you going to be? How you going to call yourself something? How you going to let somebody else speak for you? Legion spoke for him. Legion jumped up and said, my name is Legion. Your name ain't Legion. You're dealing with a dual personality here. You're dealing with some sort of schizophrenia. That's what the doctors would say. That's what Deacon Harden would say. Oh, yes, yeah, just a little schizophrenia going on here. We think that with proper medical treatment, we can. No! The proper medical treatment is go to the authority of the person that made the man. Uh-oh. Oh, because we're on a spiritual plane now. Jesus, I know you're in charge of the sea, but are you in charge of Satan? Do you have authority over Satan? Let's continue this interview. Verse 29 of this verse. Terry, stay right there where you are now. I mean, need you. Verse 29.
And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou son of the most high?
Every one of y'all ought to get up here and just start shouting right now. And you know what? When you get through shouting, you need to sit down and say, I'm so embarrassed. You know why? Devils know who Jesus is. Wait a minute. The disciples came, Rob, and they asked him, don't you care that we perish? And they're like, hey, Jesus, what's up? What's with you? The devils see Jesus. Before Jesus asked a question, they said, Son of God, Son of the living God. That's what they said. We know who you are. And they asked the question, art thou come to hither to harm us? Y'all better say before the time. How the devil gonna know that? Wait a minute. Y'all missed that. The devil knows one thing. I know what our destination is. We know who you are and what you come to do. But let me tell you something, Jesus. I got a little eschatological background in my portfolio. And I know certain things have not happened. So why are you showing up here? And I don't know, parenthetically, y'all put on the bubble. Jesus, well, what do you know about this? He said, well, I know one thing. I know you came down through 42 and generations, and I know you are walking the dusty roads of Jerusalem, but I also know you ain't been up to Calvary yet. So what you doing here? Unless you go to Calvary, you can't mess with us. It ain't time. You're a God, and you're a God of your word. You have authority by your word, and with your word, I know you ain't supposed to be here. So why are you here? To torment us before time. Did you get mixed up somehow? Here's what James says. If you believe in one God, that's good. The devils believe and tremble. So when you talk about, oh yeah, I believe in God, you're on the same level with the devil.
Right.
These devils, they know something. They know something about the word. They know what their end is. And you know what? The other thing, they know they can't do nothing about it. All they can do is mark time. What's the numbers? Now, I'm going to tell you, if this encounter had happened on early Sunday morning after the crucifixion, they would have gone boogity, 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 boogity. Oh, no. But then I imagine there would have been some smart demon that said, look at here. I know you got up early, but your word said you're coming back. And you're coming back for your church. And then you're coming back for the rest of us. Then we'll be thrown in the lake of fire. That ain't happened yet, so it ain't on the calendar. So guess what? Adios, I'm gonna do my thing. Oh, the devil is bad. Satan and his demons and demonettes, they some bad actors. And they know the word. And you up here bumping up 2-3 scriptures. I ain't got to go. I don't have to go to family church school. I will not get involved in discipleship. I do not endorse Wednesday night Bible study. I won't go to lunch with the Lord because I know greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got two or three scriptures bumping up again. The devil don't care nothing about that. The bad devil knows everything from Genesis to Revelation. He got you. He got you on his ground. He even challenged him the word himself. Hey, wait a minute, you here before your time? I don't recall, Terry, was there a retort to what he said? All I wanted you guys to catch there was that he said, Son of God, he knows who he is. If you just know that he's the Son of God, you know what he can do and you know what he has authority over. The devil knows that. Verse 30 says, now, first of all, I got to go. There's a herd. There's a herd of pigs in a Jewish community. Lolly, did I miss something? See, they were breaking the Mosaic law. That's all you got to keep in your mind. You know, wait a minute. These boys are out of order. They don't respect authority. They don't respect the law because they are herding swine because it is profitable. Somebody say money, money, honey. Money, money, money. People who are possessed will do a whole bunch of stuff for money. Let that sink in. You worried about why people, why would they do that? The poor little people trying to get it. All they want is a way of living. Money. It's all about money. And they'll transgress the law for money. Reverse 31, I got to go. Oh, I got way behind. So what?
So the devil called him, saying,
see that if there? It's better translated since. Since you go cast us out. Because the devil know. I know what's about to happen to us. Since you go cast us out, why don't you put us in the swine? Why would the demons ask that question? Now you got to understand. They just said they were legion. Let's say they are 6,000. The herd, you read in the Luke account that there were 2,000. This man has 6,000 in him. And there's 2,000 pigs. All they got to do is hook up 3-1. They get more room. Spirits don't have the capacity for physical space. But anyway, so he says, because he knows one thing, he's validating the word that he knows. See, the devil is slick. He knows that word. He's saying, now, wait a minute. If Jesus is going to deal with us, he's going to send us to the abyss right now. Matter of fact, read Luke's account. It says, don't send us to the deep. Send us in the pig. Go to Luke. Don't send us back to the abyss. Send us to the pigs. We'd rather be with the pigs. Because we know one thing. That'll give us more time to sit around and do other things. And Jesus complied. That's probably the most important. If y'all got any questions, that's one of the questions. Why in the world did you let those demons go into those pigs? But guess what? Didn't I just tell you? Gad is breaking the law. Call judgment, guys. You can't continue to transgress the law and get away with it. They've been profiting. Jesus sends them into the Gadarenes' profit center. And he said unto them, what? Go. When they were come out, they went. And behold, now, the devils would rather be in the pigs than to be in the abyss. But you know what's really astonishing? Since they want to use this title today, you know what's really astonishing? The pigs would rather be dead than have devils in them. Oh, y'all read it. Read it. The pigs, let me see. I'm telling you, the pigs said, ain't no devil going to me. There ain't no devil in hell going to inhabit me. I'd rather be dead. I'd rather be bacon on a platter than have the devil in me. Pigs got more sense than most human beings. I'll show you in a minute. Because first of all, these pigs knew one thing. They heard Jesus. Yeah, okay, you can go down there, pig. Hey, Snarky, get ready. Line up the crew. We going off the cliff. We ain't gonna put up for this. We protest. Don't you realize pig life matter too? I'm gone. I'm out of here. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Down the hill. And it says that they perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that was befallen the possessed of the devil. They went and told people. But look at the report. Be careful what report you take. They told them, do you know that Jesus took this man who was sitting out there and was demonic, possessed, naked, out of his mind? Jesus cast the devil out of him, the devils out of him, and put him in a pig, and the pigs took off, went down the hill, and they drowned. Lord, what a shame. Do you know? Now, you remember how they started the story. Be careful about your report. Here's how they ended the story. Do you know that sorry Jesus put them devils in the pigs? You know why? Because read Luke when you guys get a chance, because we're not going to have time to. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. The man was healed of a demon. One person. But guess what? They lost 2,000 pigs. And so you got to ask yourself, is 2,000 pigs worth one life? Jesus weighed the balance and said, oh yeah, oh yeah. And since I'm in charge, pigs, get to receiving. Do what you gotta do, but them devils is coming at you. Oh, I'm a poet and didn't know it. Wait a minute. Here he comes. I want you to see this. They said, you're healing the man. Is less important than the profit you've cost us. Money is more important than lives. I told you it was about the money. Y'all didn't believe me. Y'all thought I was trying to be politically incorrect. No, it's about the money. It's about money, folk. People care about money. That's what they care about. And all this stuff that's covered and all this, this kind of movement and this kind of movement, and we want this for these folk and this for that folk. Look at the money, because that's what somebody is doing right now. They're looking at the money. And when you get down to the money, you find out money has strange bedfellows. You'll find black, white, green, gray, old, young, poor, rich, all in that melting pot of money, and somebody's pulling the strings on money. Who gets the money today? Because it's more important than a life. That's why we can do what we want to do. That's why we've got all these centers for the destruction of life, and that's why we got all these folk that are trying to build obstacles to people assimilating, and that's why we got all these churches that are huddled up in one, I'm territorial. It's a demonic spirit. We need to put it out. about money. A demonic spirit. And we see here that Jesus has control. He has the authority over it. And they talk, you talk about the redistribution of wealth. Let me tell you one thing. You better go read world history. How many times wealth has been redistributed? That's not a new phenomenon, folks. And you don't have to be a fool to do it. You don't have to cast out the entire society. You don't have to elude all the moral compasses in order to achieve that. Just go to the authority. You remember the scripture that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches? Do you remember the scripture that says, I will make the world my footstool? Do y'all remember those scriptures? Well, they mean something more than what we want them to mean. It means that God has authority over it all. And if God tells Johnson to get up off those duckies and give them to T.G. Sneed, he gonna get to doing it. One way or the other. Willingly or unwillingly. Put Jesus out. Because money is more important than men. Put Jesus out. Ask him gently, though. Because we don't want no trouble, Mr. Jesus. All we want to do is continue in our darkness. We don't want no trouble. We know we ain't no match for you. We heard what you done out there on the sea. You were authority over the sea. We heard what you done to those demons. They seen it. You know, with the only, you know what I'm talking about? Most people heard. Let me tell you, Luke gives a better account. You know what Luke said? Luke says they came back and they saw the man sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. That's where y'all get that prayer from. Lord, thank you for me being clothed and in my right mind. You know, thank you that I ain't in some graveyard somewhere, out of my mind, you know, bubbling my lip, having issues. Thank you, Lord, for delivering me. Because you got the authority. You got the authority over the sea, and you got authority over Satan. See y'all next week.